Sounds like I'm on. Good morning, everybody. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Jim Bruce. I'm just one of the parishioners here. I'm also finally could actually say I'm a missionary, a foreign missionary. I will be going to Africa in September again for my third trip. I'll be there for a couple months. For anybody who's interested in what's going on, and I thank you so much for my blessed sister and brother who shared about missions and the needs of the many. This particular letter, I'm going to leave a bunch of them over here on the stage. If anybody wants to know what's going on, this kind of gives a really good synopsis of what I'm doing there and how you might be able to help. There's a card here. First and foremost, I really need your prayers for me because there's a lot going on in Malawi right now. So if you could be so kind to pray for me, it would be greatly appreciated. I have one more service that I'll be here. I'm going to be doing some visiting of family, so I'll be globetrotting for a little bit. But then I will be back for one more service, then off to Africa. So if you guys would be so kind to pray for me, and if you want, again, a little bit more is right over there. So I'm very, very thankful to be here this morning. God is so good to give me this opportunity to preach his word. So let me just pray before we get started. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to come before you today, Lord, to hear your word, Lord, to be able to speak it, Father. And I thank you for your Holy Spirit. We just sense your presence here, Holy Spirit. We ask that you would own this time today. Father, that the words spoken would be just penetrate the hearts and the minds of folks that are listening, Lord. And Father, by your Spirit, you would work in them to give them a greater understanding of your call in their lives, that they may serve you with their whole hearts. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so before I was saved, I was personally seeking everything that the world had to offer. I had several inappropriate and sinful relationships. Additionally, I owned a nice home and a nice cars. I ascended to a very high rank in the United States military and had several leadership positions and some high-paying jobs. I sought out and got much of what the world had to offer. Since I've been saved, things of the world hold little value to me compared to the riches that I have in Christ Jesus. Big homes, nice cars, beautiful land, nice clothes, money, the opposite sex, drugs, alcohol, excessive gaming and entertainment, excessive food and drink, recognition, popularity, position, power. Either I myself or many people that I know might run after such things or may at least be tempted by them. Now, some of those things like healthy marriages and families and godly relationships, food, money, clothing, shelter, like Abby talked about earlier, and a reliable means of transportation are necessary. But even if I were to possess all these things, apart from Christ, I would still want a bigger home or a nicer car or more money, thinking if only I had that, then I'd be satisfied. We call it keeping up with the Joneses. We see what our neighbors have or what the rich and famous have, and we want it for ourselves, thinking it will satisfy us. But here's the thing. Even when I got that bigger and better house or car, or I got that promotion, I got more money, I still wasn't satisfied. Time and time again, I would be peering over the fence and coveting what my neighbor had. For some reason, the more I got, the more I wanted. You see, it is our human fleshly nature to look around and see what others have. How about you? Is there something or some relationship that you want, or some position that you want to ascend to because you think, if only I had that, then I'd be satisfied? So many of us struggle today with different lusts and temptations. Some of us struggle more with things that we see, like someone who has a better house than me, or a better land than me, or a higher position than me. Or someone who has a really nice car and I don't. Or somebody has better clothes than I do. Some of us struggle with things that relate to our bodies, like impure sexual thoughts and immoral acts, such as sexual impurity, infidelity, and homosexuality. Some of us struggle with drugs and alcohol. Some of us eat too much or not enough or indulge in the wrong kinds of food and drink that which may cause physical harm or diseases to our bodies. And some of us struggle with pride. We believe we are more deserving than others, or that we are better than others. We want praise heaped upon us for doing what we're supposed to do. We want to be recognized for how good, how precious, how smart, how beautiful, how spiritual, and how outstanding we are. Although we will rarely admit it, we take glory for ourselves that really belongs to God. And if you're like me, you previously struggled with, or you are currently struggling with, nearly everything on this list. So how about you? Have you ever struggled with any of the things I just mentioned? At one time or another, I have struggled with different things associated with all the categories I just stated, and I am willing to bet you have too. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life are things that all humanity struggle with, and there are no exceptions. Even Jesus was tempted by Satan in all three of these areas. Unlike Jesus, we give in to the temptations. And even when we do give in to the temptation, we are still not satisfied. We will often go back for more. And guess what? This is not a recent phenomenon in 2022. People in both Old and New Testament times were tempted by and pursue things that could never satisfy. They rejected that which was all satisfying and sought to replace it with things that left them unfulfilled and broken and wanting more. So what must we do? How can we truly fill the void that we are trying to satisfy? How can we fill that void? Let's see what the scriptures have to say about it. So the Holy Scriptures tell us what we are doing wrong, what we must do, and how we must do it in order to be able to drink from God's fountain of life. I really appreciate the songs we sang today. It was very appropriate. There was a lot about the fountain of life and about water and cleansing and the presence of the Lord. Do you want to drink from the fountain so that you will never thirst again? Do you, like me, desire only that which can truly satisfy? We are going to be looking at two key sections of Scripture today to explore how this can be done. If you have a Bible, turn with me first to Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. So Jeremiah is in the Old Testament. He's referred to as one of the major prophets. It's located about two-thirds of the way in your Bible and is right after the book of Isaiah. So I'll be using the New International Version. So this section tells us what we are doing wrong. Jeremiah 2:13 says, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." So my only point for this sermon is only drink fresh living water. Nothing else will satisfy. So I know, what's a cistern? Okay. So a cistern was something that they used. It's made up of clay or plaster type thing, and they would bury it under the ground so that when it rained, they would catch the runoff. And then they would go and they would claim that water and drink it, right? But if you could understand, that water was frequently contaminated, okay? Sometimes the cisterns were broken and contained little or no water. Note that two sins were committed there in that scripture we just read. The people of Judah rejected God and they replaced him with something else. So all throughout the Old Testament, the Israelites rejected God time and time again and resort to idol worship, the worship of man-made objects or false gods. You guys remember the golden calf, you know, where Moses was up in the mountain and he was, and all the people came to Aaron and they were clamoring around. Aaron says, you know, we don't know what happened to this Moses. Make for us an idol that we could worship. So Moses collected their golden earrings. He shaped it into the form of a calf, and they all began to worship the golden calf. They would also participate in other forms of idol worship, like ancestor worship. They would seek help from spirits and from witchcraft. Doing these things meant that they were forsaking God, the spring of living water, spoken about in the verse we just read. They were not trusting that God would provide what they needed. They were replacing him with something that would not last or did not work, and it kept them wanting more. They were never satisfied. Blessings would come to the Israelites when they obeyed, but death, destruction, and suffering followed them when they rejected God and replaced him and disobeyed his commandments. They went after the gods of the nations because they thought they would satisfy them more than the Lord God of Israel himself. So what must we do? Only drink fresh living water. Nothing else will satisfy. Partaking of what the world has to offer is far less fulfilling and refreshing than what God has to offer. And what the world offers us will leave us broken and unfulfilled. Remember the two sins the people committed? Accepting what the world has to offer means we are rejecting God. Jeremiah 7:13 tells us where our hope comes from and what will happen if we forsake him. You could just listen. Oh, you don't have to turn there. It says, so Jeremiah 7:13 says, Lord, you are the hope of Israel. So Israel here refers to God's people. All who forsake you will be put to shame. Those who turn away from you will be written in the dust because they have forsaken the Lord, the spring of living water. Only drink fresh living water. Nothing else will satisfy. Psalm 36:9 tells us who God is and reveals that as we walk in the light of God, he will reveal the way in which we should go. It says, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Notice that in these passages, accepting God and what God has to offer brings life and illuminates God more clearly in our lives. But you can also see how harm, destruction, and death follow those who forsake God and pursue worldly things. So now turn with me to the New Testament. We're going to be looking at John chapter 4, verses 7 through 26. John chapter 4. So as you're turning there, let me give you a little background to the text. Because of the persecution from the Pharisees, Jesus had to leave Judea, and he was returning to Galilee. The journey was long, and he was on foot, and he was tired and hungry, and he was in need of rest. So this would be a good time, a good place to talk about Jesus' humanity, but that's a different sermon. On this journey to Galilee, Jesus had to pass through the region of Samaria, and he came upon Jacob's well, which had been dug centuries before. Because he was tired from his journey, he sat down and rested at the well. It was noontime, the hottest part of the day. While he sat there, he was approached by a Samaritan woman. So at John chapter 4, starting at verse 7, we read, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. You see, the Jews viewed Samaritans as unclean, and using dishes that they used would make whoever used them ceremonially unclean as well. Verse 10 of John 4. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can we get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Only drink fresh living water. Nothing else will satisfy. God is the living water. As Christians, we must drink the water that God provides, not what the world provides. Drinking contaminated water would never fill us to overflowing. It will never satisfy, and we will thirst again. It can bring great harm to our lives and our bodies. Okay, so let's read on, John 4, verse 15. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, go, call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. So what water was the woman drinking? Did it leave her satisfied? Was she going to the well time and time again, not realizing that the water she was drinking was contaminated? Only drink fresh living water. Nothing else will satisfy. Verse 19. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. Only drink fresh living water, people. Nothing else will satisfy. In the book of Revelation, the Apostle John is given the opportunity to speak to the risen Lord in a vision. Revelation 21:6 says, and this is John listening to Jesus. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of water of life. From the spring of the water of life, without cost. Isaiah 55:1 is an invitation to those who hunger and thirst after God and tells us of what he has to offer. You don't have to turn there, but you could just listen if you want. And it says this. It says, come, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters, and you who have no money. Come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. So wine, milk, and honey represented the blessings of God. So when you come to the fountain, when you come to the spring of living water, he brings you blessing. Following the Exodus and after wandering in the desert for 40 years, the scriptures teach that he brought all of Israel that survived to a land flowing with milk and honey, just as he had promised. And he will bring us great blessing too if we trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Trust in Jesus today and you will be satisfied. Listen, only drink fresh living water. Nothing else will satisfy. So I'll get a little demo here for you. I'll try not to make a mess. Good luck with that. All right. So I have here an empty glass. Okay, this represents us, okay? So we need water to live. Adult bodies are 60 to 70% water. Infants are 75 to 90% water. And we cannot live without water. We need water. So physically and spiritually, we need water. We can't live without it, okay? So how are you going to fill this cup if this is you? Where will we draw from? Okay. Okay. This particular one has dirty water in it. Okay. This is what water from a cistern might look like. Okay. It is contaminated. This is what the world has to offer us. This is what the woman at the well was drinking. Okay. Now, this one here represents fresh living water. Okay, I'll try not to spill it all over my notes, okay? Let me see this here, okay. Fresh living water, there we go. This represents living water and gives us life. Jesus sent his spirit to fill us, okay? He said that the water he gives us will become in us a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Okay, so let him fill you to overflowing so that we spill out onto others. Okay, so when we're filled to overflowing, we have compassion for our most vulnerable populations, like the poor, the widow, the orphan, the elderly, and those who have been displaced. Drink from the fountain of life today, people. Nothing else will satisfy. We are concerned about It'll help us to be concerned about our neighbors, including their physical and spiritual well-being. Spill onto others so that no one you know goes hungry or thirsty. Be concerned not only for your own needs, but also to the needs of others. And if possible, meet those needs. Drink only living water, folks. Put your faith in Jesus as your Savior. He gives life freely. Things of the world will rot, decay, rust, and will eventually fade away, leaving us wanting more. Seek that which is above for true satisfaction. Only drink fresh living water. Nothing else will satisfy. So how can this living water become real to you today? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. You see, God had a plan. In John 4:14, the woman at the well made the same statement that every person here, including myself, should be making. Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty. So you want the water? Ask God for the living water. John 7:37 through 39 goes like this. On the last day of the feast, the greatest day, Jesus stood up and shouted out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. Just as the scripture says, from within him will flow rivers of living water." Now he said this about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were going to receive. For the Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus has now been glorified, people. He suffered and died for our sins, and 3 days later God raised him from the dead. And he died for your sins and for mine, a sin debt that we're not able to pay back. Listen to what Revelation 22:17 says. And the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." And let the one who hears say, "Come." And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wants it take the water of life free of charge. For those of you who have never put your trust in Jesus, what must you do? Put your faith in Jesus today, not in the things of the world. Believe he died for your sins and trust in him as your Lord and Savior, and you will be saved, the scriptures say. For those of us who are saved, what must we do? Drink from the fountain of life for full satisfaction. Nothing else can fill that void. When we do, God's Spirit will enable us to look not only on what we need, but also will help us meet the needs of others. Let me repeat in Jesus' own words again what he said in John 4:14. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. When we believe and trust in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and resides in us. He gives us the power to say no to worldly passions and yes to the things of God. Fill your cup to overflowing today, people. Only drink fresh living water, because nothing else will satisfy. Great harm can come to us by seeking after worldly things, and we will always be searching for more. Only God can fill us to overflowing so that we will never thirst again. When I was running after the things of the world, I suffered from severe stress and physical ailments. I now have peace that surpasses understanding, and I try to explain it, but it's beyond understanding, okay? Many of my physical ailments have been healed. I get around 3 job offers a week, because I'm a registered nurse, right? And I could be making very large income each year, but I realize that God's plan for me is to love and to serve him, and to love and to serve others, not for me to serve myself. Remember, there was a price to be paid in order to receive this living water, but it was paid by Christ with his own life. It cost Christ everything, but is offered to us free if we put our faith in him. He will take our sin and give us his righteousness. The best trade in the history of man takes our sin and gives us his righteousness. Only he can fill us to overflowing. So if you will, commit to drawing on Jesus to fill your cup. I pray that none of us will be drinking from a contaminated well. God bless you all. Let's pray. Father, reach out to the spiritually blind today. Let them understand that the empty space in their hearts is God-shaped and must be filled with your living water. Let them, along with us, be filled from the spring of water that wells up to eternal life. Father, let this water purify us so that we seek after godly things and not things of the world, because you alone can truly satisfy. Let the things of this world be a distant second in our life's priorities, for you alone are worthy. Thank you for hearing our prayers today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.